I'm from Arizona. We have Stephanie Ann Stevens. And Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about your gift, and you're a well-known clairvoyant.
Okay.
I've had several people in my sphere friendship and business relationships, your name has come up several times. So you come highly recommended.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about the gift that you have. You like to think of yourself as clairvoyant, right?
Clairvoyant the gift of healing. People would say medical intuitive, and that's just something that's being said nowadays. We'll just say clairvoyant, a medical intuitive, and spiritual medium. And those things would sum it up.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the medical intuitive and the healing in a moment, but how did you figure out you had this gift and exactly...
I really didn't know anything until about, you know, usually these things are found in childhood, early childhood, and the first gift that surfaced was, as I told you before, the Om. When the chanting, when people chant Om, and what we that is actually a universal force that's around us all the time. And I simply found that I had this sound that I was able to physically turn on. It seemed in my head, and my mom said that's the Om, and I didn't realize that, but my parents had transcendental meditation going on in their house, and so they knew about this, raised in a metaphysical household, and. Through that beginning, and that led also to the music, and that got started in the music. And
we're going to talk about the music here in a minute. In fact, we're going to play something by you a little bit, one of your CDs. But let's go on with the story here. So this, you were very young at this time.
I probably was about 3 or 4 years, about 4 years old when I went to my mom and I said, I'm hearing this sound. Because I didn't know. You're 3 years old. What do you know, you know?
And the sound that you, the that you're hearing, or that you're hearing, is it vocal or is it mechanical?
It's
or?
Like an organ chord, Jerry.
Okay.
It sounds like music. And when I turn this on, literally when I turn this on, it sounds like an organ chord to me. But what it does for other people is what it, the properties that it has. Because it's a power unto itself, it can be moved from place to place, if you understand what I'm saying.
So you can turn this on automatically?
Or will, any time, any place, just even right now. I wouldn't do it right now because we have dead air time. But
you hear the Om, does the person you're working with, do they hear anything?
If they're able to, they can. It's triggered clairaudience. It's triggered people's third eye opening and that kind of thing. And I know that it's my first, you know, the third eye that I have is fully open. And this probably extends that like a hundredfold or whatever. Because I don't know exactly what the person's going to experience when it's sent to them. They might experience healing. They might. Carrying somebody contacting them from the other side, physically feeling that person behind them or touching.
I want to get into that as well, but right now we're just kind of talking about you had this gift really early in life.
So we were taught to meditate when we were 6 years old. I was 6 years old, so my parents introduced me to meditation. Although I'm sure I meditated in many past lives, and come to. Basically, my through the associations that my mother had and my parents ran into some of these very, very prominent metaphysical, well-known people like Hazel Denning, which is a world-renowned parapsychologist. And through the association of meeting them, she took me to them. They seemed to notice something, and one thing led to another. And I just naturally started doing readings when I was about 15, 16.
Well, you were probably a big hit in high school.
Well, I was considered weird. So what? I say thank you. So what?
Is it when you started doing these readings, they were probably fairly, boy meets girl relationship type things when you were a teenager?
Not at all.
Oh, no. They were serious right off the bat.
They were serious right off the bat, Jerry. They were... people would come and they would say things like, actually they wouldn't even, first of all, what makes it kind of unique is the fact that I started doing, and I'm just saying, I say in my brochure that we followed in the footsteps of Edgar Cayce by doing what's called absent readings. Absent readings, which means the person is, you know, not there. For instance, like you're in Oklahoma, so somebody gives your name and then all this information is said about you. And that's what happened, and I started just, my mom started giving me these names and her friend, and I started just describing all these things about these people, and even, and my dad became a believer when he was a total skeptic about it. And so it was things like, no, the dog has a tumor that's 4 centimeters down from its collar, located in the lower quadrant of the neck. And then they would take the dog to the doctor and find that it had the tumor 4 centimeters down from its collar.
So do you, does this just come to you, or you have a vision of it? Or?
Everything. Everything.
Okay.
It's, all,
okay.
It's just like going into a large movie, but experiencing it with sense around, with touch, with everything. Sight, sound, but it's expanded consciousness. So in other words, consciously, like I'm just standing there with the person. And that kind of thing. It's kind of, it's just very, it's really unique because I won't even stay seated. I'll start walking around while I'm on the phone with somebody describing the dimensions of their house and, oh, I just ran into an entity down in the cellar, you know, because I can feel that the energy changes with my hands and actually feel the spirit forms with my hands.
So they do not really even have to be there with you?
Absolutely not.
So someone could call you?
Oh, absolutely, they do all the, I mean, I do phone readings all the time. I'm on the radio doing readings all the time. And
Now, somebody calls you, you have a special number for that, or is it over on your website, or how does that
well,
work?
Well, what they do, they just call, they call our, I can't, they call our home number, which if I gave that out over the air,
people
call it 1 a.m. and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just for the phone readings, and they just call me for the phone, you know, reading.
So, but what I'm saying is they would, how would somebody contact you to make an appointment? Through your website?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Gary.
Yeah.
Yes, the website, should I give out the website? It's STEPH, the number 7.net.
Yeah,
yeah.
www.step7.net.
Yeah, and we have a link to that on our website so people can find it, and then we also have your photos.
Right, and all they do, and I get many, you know, I get, they just email the email, and then we set it up, and then I tell them the phone number that I'm at, and then they call for their reading, or they do come in person.
Now, you have some sort of workshop once a month, I think. They're in Tucson, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, we have I can even give you the address.
Yeah, please do.
All right. We are at Borders Park Place, which is 5870 East Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. I can even give you the phone number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, please do that, too. I'll give the people a chance here to write it down. But when do you do this there at Borders?
There, the first Friday of every month. I started doing seminars in Borders in 1998, having started performing there musically. That's what led to them finding out I was a clairvoyant. And he somehow set it up. I thought I was going to do readings there, and he goes and sets it up for me to do seminars. I had no idea. And my dad came and helped me with the first seminar. But right then, back then, in 1998, they were called the New Age Readings. And in about probably 2000 or 1999 or 2000, they evolved to what's called premonitions, prophecies, and predictions.
And then your premonitions, prophecies, and predictions, do they concern individuals or events?
They can fit both. They concern both. World events as well, for the individual sitting in the audience. And, you know, we didn't start doing the live, I've been doing live audience readings, which means, you know, the whole audience. Which is not easy.
What time do you do that at Borders?
7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock.
And in September, we got Labor Day around there someplace, but...
7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
On Friday nights.
On Friday night.
The first Friday.
First Friday, it's on the website, marked underneath seminars, media, and events.
The music, that's interesting. I'm going to play a cut here by you right now, and I'll be right back. And we'll continue along. I want to talk to you about your musical career and the rest of this when we come back. But first of all, this is an interesting cut, I think.
Such ways for the sun.
Ann Stevens is, I guess she's on the line from, I think, I guess you live right outside Tucson.
Yeah, right now I'm talking to you in Tucson.
Oh, okay.
We do live outside of Tucson.
And we used to be on a radio station near KNST for years. Yeah, our Nibrick show. And,
oh, well, yeah. Oh,
and it may, who knows, this show may make it back there someday. You never know. Some of these things keep coming back and forth. It seems to me with this gift you have, and then this musical talent, which is a gift too, do they get confusing or do they work hand in hand?
No, they're not confusing at all, Jerry.
I've got a vision here. Stephanie Ann Stevens, musical clairvoyant. 7:30 p.m. Channel 6.
Well, Jerry, you know what? I'm going to go into the vision. Serious. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think you're just being facetious there. I believe that. It's interesting that you say that. It's always been that way. But when I started teaching myself, I taught myself to play the piano by ear when I was 6 years old. That started on, I'd heard My Country Tizzy a number of times, and I sat down and I just started playing the notes, and my sister was already taking piano lessons, and my mom and dad jumped into it because it was just very natural, and the next thing I know, I took flute lessons, and then I started writing songs when I was about 16. No, I started writing, entered a young composer's contest when I was about 7 or 8 years old. So I was writing really advanced compositions when I was 7 or 8, and I believe the creative force of that also opened up this door to come back and to do the work I'm doing.
Now, the songs that you write,
yes.
Do they deal with, typical song titles like romance and relationships, or do you write, can people buy these CDs?
This particular one, I can tell you that it's interesting. This was written, we didn't write this particular song. The reason we sent that one is because we just know that people need to hear this, and we have modified it somewhat. It used to say Jesus, and instead we changed it to Spirit,
mm-hmm.
If that's okay. But it's written, it actually is a wedding song from Corinthians 1:13, although I speak with tongues of men and angels. If I don't have love, I'm nothing, and that kind of thing. So.
Well, now when you mentioned the Bible to me more than once. One time I asked you about O.M., and showed my intellect by saying, what the heck's O.M.?
that's, believe me, Jerry, you can't imagine how many people go, what's the O.M.?
Uh-huh.
And the best way I remember telling them is that I say, okay, the O.M. is the universal force that's around you all the time. It's like the sound of God, and it's there. So you know.
So you look upon your gift as not anti-religious at all.
No, not well. I wouldn't say religious at all. I would just say that it's universal spirituality. It's universal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't consider myself a religious person.
Yeah, I understand, but you've mentioned the Bible a couple of times. The reason I was asking.
Oh, and the reason I mentioned that is because I have an extensive church background. From what I'm doing now, and I'm a prayer counselor, and I also help lead worship in many, many, many churches, always in leadership and everything. It's not far. The work I do now is really not that far from what I did in the churches. So it's just kind of like things that evolve.
Now, I want to get into some of the things that you do here in a moment, but you mentioned the fact that you can forecast or tell or feel or predict events.
This is correct.
And I asked you if it was large scale or small scale, and you said both.
Well, if I could,
I mean, I put words in your mouth. You didn't exactly say that, but I mean, I got that impression. Go ahead, explain that.
Well, when I had mentioned, I believe that there's another part of it that started evolving around in the 1980s, and some of these things just were very not conscious as far as what was going on. I just started writing down these messages. And then they would happen. I would write them down about my own life, and then within 2 weeks, whatever I had written down would happen, or even within days, it would happen. And I'd think, okay, well, there's such a thing as automatic writing, but there's also, there depends on what source it comes from. And
Well, you know, I'd never heard of that term until about a year ago. A guy was talking to me in a UFO show, and he started talking about, well, I just start writing this stuff down. It comes to me.
Yeah, the automatic writing. It depends on who somebody might be channeling through that person, but this isn't the same. This isn't the same thing. It's coming from a higher, a different transmission. Not necessarily. I'm not. It's coming from a different source, a higher source than.
I mean, do you we just did a show on channeling. Do you consider yourself a channeler, or are you a clairvoyant, or what do you consider yourself?
If you really, from what's being displayed here is from what my parents tell me, and from the meditation and from everything that. What these are may not even be, some of these things are definitely what would be considered yogic powers, which is somebody that in a past life may have been what they call a yogi. I'm just being myself here because I believe in past lives and greatly. And
do you have a clue about your past
life? Yes, I do. I know I was a yogi in a past life. This is maybe, and I don't think this is too deep for your listeners. I really don't, because there's great you know of the great masters, or heard of the great masters.
Yes, we just did a show about
that. Yeah, from
that.
India, and I have special, you know, birth markings on my own body, one on the nose, one between the nostrils, and one on the ear. That I've been interviewed by a number of people, or that have known what those were, or known. Somehow knew more than even I did that those were special significance, and those were actually assisting me in my work, and that they had to come from somewhere. And so, because my dad has said that he hears the Om.
Now your dad was skeptical originally, and now he's hearing the Om.
Because my parents were indoctrinated into this SRF religion, Self-Realization Fellowship, founded in the 1920s by Paramahansa Yogananda. So I was raised in the SRF religion. My parents would recognize, my dad, through their meditation and everything, they would recognize what the Om would be like. And it's taken, I imagine, my dad's 85, I think. And just now, when I send it to him, he hears it. And it's only been a number of times that he's now heard it in all the 40 or so many years that they've been meditating. So it's triggering something for my dad to hear, and he told me, he said, that is the authentic Om, and he said that is not a psychic thing, that is a yogic technique, a yogic power. I realized that it took a long time, it took over 40 years to realize by looking in the mirror that I was moving my ears, I could see my ears moving, and then I... Yes, they do.
I'd like to see that.
You may...
I guess, but basically, if you're doing that at the time, the person that you're with is probably in concentration too. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's very. They're trying to receive, and you know, sometimes they concentrate so hard they say they can't feel anything.
They end up blocking things.
But yes, exactly. You have such a knowledge of this. The thing of it is that when we talk about these yogic things, which is something that you know, it's not the most common thing that you would hear talked about on the radio, and I'm sure you know that. And yet it's been around, you know, for thousands of years through the masters of India and everything, and other places, that they're what they call the Siddhas, and that involves levitation, bilocation. So what I ascertain here is, from what I realize, is the level that the gift was at, even in when I was 21, was very advanced. And so it just was very advanced. And I have experienced the bilocation effortlessly. It's a form of.
I got a question that. I got a question to ask you that may be too simple even, but who gave you the gift?
I believe, I believe that it came from spiritual source. That I believe that it's from what we call God, without putting a name on a deity of any kind, so to speak, but just a force, a universal force.
So basically, maybe the force be with you is more than just a slogan.
I would say so. I believe that it was from other past, from development of past lives. If you read the autobiography of the yogi with Paramahansa Yogananda, he talks about being able to see that he was a yogi.
I'm going to follow up on the events and how you can predict those, and I want to talk about crossing over to the other side. When we come back, this is Jerry Pippen, and we have Stephanie Ann Stevens with us on the line from Tucson, Arizona. I'm Jerry Pippen. Don't go away.
This is Jerry Pippen, Las Vegas, baby. It's where it's happening.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Nobody covers Las Vegas like Jerry Pippen. Check out the people and features behind the bright lights at jerrypippen.com.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all. JerryPippen.com. At JerryPippen.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now. www.jerrypippen.com.
River of Fear, the first book in a trilogy, contains just a few of the paranormal and UFO events that author Rod Davis and his wife have personally experienced. Rod surrounded them with mystery and action, which makes River of Fear a page-turner and an exciting read. River of Fear is a book you cannot put down. Click on the link on our UFO page at jerrypippen.com for more about River of Fear, and you can buy it today for only $14.95. That's a savings of $5. River of Fear. Reality fiction at its best.
Stephanie Ann Stevens on the line. Okay, you like to call yourself Steph. That's what's on your website.
Well, isn't that, you know, that's the web host or the web thingy, whatever, that's how it came out. So it's easier for people, if you know what I mean.
Now, I sense, and I'm not a psychic or a clairvoyant or any of this, but I sense just from conversations with you that you're very close to your husband, Jack.
Yes.
You guys are almost like two souls in one.
Exactly.
And I kind of got that impression from the first time I talked to you. And maybe over the years when you interview people, you know, you listen to, you do little kind of radio shows I do, you listen to all kinds of little clues.
Exactly.
And, you're trying to tune into what they're really saying, because we don't really say, in my opinion, what we really think we're saying most of the time.
That's very true. True. It is.
And so a lot of psychology or maybe something more is involved in these shows.
I would say.
And so I take it Jack's probably a musician too?
Yes, Jack is a musician. He's a wonderful musician. He plays the guitar. He plays Native American flute. He's into drums. He was in a lot of bands back in the 70s, actually, where he could have been even signed by a record company, and raising his children was more important. So... But now we write music together, Stevens and Stevens.
Now, have you talked to anybody about a record contract or anything?
It's interesting that you say that, because in 1997, I think it was, 96, 97, I had the interest of MCA Records.
They can't get much bigger than that.
I don't want to say they were... If I say they were very impressed, I'd be telling you the truth.
Sometimes when I talk to people and, you know, you talk, well, that was a great broadcast, or, you know, they look at you like, where are you eating? but you can tell the difference, you know, when it's good.
In the fact.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, sometimes they stink, sometimes they're great. We'll be back with Stephanie Ann Stevens in a moment. First, let's take time out for this one.
Hey, this is Jerry Pippen, Las Vegas, baby. It's where it's happening.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Vegas.
Nobody covers Las Vegas like Jerry Pippin. Check out the people and features behind the bright lights at jerrypippin.com.
Stephanie Ann Stevens is our guest, and we'll get back to this scenario of disaster in a moment, Stephanie, but I want to tell you one thing. You and I talked, first time I ever talked to you, and I think you talked to somebody else about me. You said you saw a bump on my eye, on the back of my eye or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just came back from the, you know, I have vision problems. I've had 13 eye operations, and they just figured out that all the treatment, one of the downsides of it was that, you know, when you get a laser treatment, it never really recovers. Your retina doesn't. And I have a bump on my optical nerve caused by scar tissue.
Yeah, that was, you remember when we talked the other day, and I was talking about your website. Yeah.
And I didn't follow up with you a little bit, because I knew I had an appointment right away, and I was going to find out.
Well, there you go.
Hey, I'm a reporter.
Well, you know, that had a lot to do with not just looking at your eye, but it was there you were in front of me, life-size, you know, just like if you were there. And then reaching in and feeling inside the eye with the energy of the spirit hand, I guess you could say. So that was what that was. It's by touch as well. Even, I don't know if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, I generally I do, and over, you know.
The sensory part of it. In other words, it's like if you reached in and felt inside of your own eye and felt that bump. Well, for me, that's how it is. I'm able to feel things with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Well, you know, one of the downsides of your job or your gift, I would think, would be somebody like me or somebody saying, well, am I going to be healed or am I going to be okay or is this romance going to be great? And it's not going to be. What are you going to say?
I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth. I have, there's hundreds, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, not just from the seminars, but from the radio shows, the 35 years of doing this, the people that you build up over time, and they're so, on a daily basis, Jerry, on a daily basis, and we have a prayer list, but I sit there and I pray for these people, but on a daily basis, I've got somebody in crisis, and I'm sure people out there can relate with what I'm saying, because of anyone who's involved in doing readings and this kind of thing, like even Sylvia Brown. You go through this kind of thing, but you just sort of detach yourself, and they're pinning all their hopes, and they can't do that. And what they don't want to do is they do not want to have expectations, because expectations are going to let them down. And I would rather know the truth than not know the truth, not know the truth. And if someone's going to pass, and it's very, very clear, then it's going to come out, and it does happen. But I would rather know the truth, wouldn't you?
I have a little saying, and I talk about it, and why I do the work I do, and that's because the truth is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
You know, regardless of which way it goes, and we're talking about a possible thing in September.
Right.
And you said, did you see the UN building destroyed?
It was pretty much attacked there.
Or at least the building that starts with an M, which the reason I mention Madison Square Garden is that's when the Republican convention is going to be.
I understand.
And there's a million or so protesters going to be outside.
I understand.
And it seems to me that the plan right now it might be rather than impacting in the interior of the garden would be to do something like release sarin gas or something.
You know, and the thing of it is, Jerry, what it was definitely it was air. I mean, it was strike. It was like, you know, air strike or whatever. It was by strike force, and it was, you know, it's pretty bad. I mean,
you definitely see mayhem, blood, and like as in a bombing or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I have never been in New York City in this lifetime, so I don't know what street called M, or if that is what you're talking about, that's either near the UN. I don't know if there's
this leads me to another question for the break, and then we mentioned just briefly the other side, and we're going to get to that. Can these things be prevented once you see them?
I think they can be prevented by, like I said, I was told in this angel writing that the next attack would be curtailed. In other words, that whoever was speaking, the angels or whatever, the spiritual forces, even celestial forces or whatever, that through prayer and healing, what I saw was even the good part of it is that after this attack occurred, that there was tremendous healing that took place in the city. So it was either very short and brief, and the city was able to pull itself back together, something that, of course, mm-hmm. I saw what I thought was martial law, too. And that was very dramatic, the way that was seen as well.
It's definitely a possibility, and not even talking about clairvoyant powers or angel writing or anything, just reading the tea leaves from what people say. And the way they do, things look pretty foreboding.
They do. The only thing is that, again, it may be the karma of the United States, like you reap what you sow type thing, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Be the karma, and that maybe that's something that has to, that we have to go through to evolve in this country. I do believe that there's really no way we can, you could sit there, I mean, you know that they've talked about that they're planning this attack and they're planning that attack, and they may, you know, they may even do something like, you know, just start a disease, and then you know, you see all these people.
Oh, there's all kinds of scenarios that that are just devastating, and there's all kinds of people that have the potential to do it, not just Al-Qaeda, but lots of things. So lots of things could be happening. We'll be back in a moment. I want to talk about going to the other side. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we want to talk about that seminar, too, coming up at Borders.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the Internet, one stop fits all. JerryPippin.com. At JerryPippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Get it now. www.jerrypippin.com.
Actually, communicate with the dead. Is that right, Stephanie? And how does that happen? Do you have a Ouija board or something?
No. What Jerry? It's not like a séance or anything. What they do is they just start coming through. Which I mean by that is they come through from this dimension or whatever, and they're vibrating at a higher frequency, and I'm able to see them and hear them and reach out and shake their hand. And I've had some very dramatic. I had a woman that passed on from chemotherapy. I could feel her hair falling in my hand. So my contact with them is the same as if it was somebody with a living spirit, which I talk to the living spirits as well, and people who have a spirit.
So you literally can communicate with someone who's passed recently.
Oh yeah, and in, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about mediumship and everything, and like I said, no, we're talking about crossing over to the other side, but when you're talking to somebody in the astral realm that's a living spirit, and then they show up at somebody's door like they said they were going to show up 2 hours before, then you know that you're really, you know, connecting in it. But with people on the other side, what they do is I think I gave you one example of a Marine, talking about September 11th, a man came through, and he was standing in the living room, and he was a Marine, and he had the letter K written on his body, so to speak, and he stood out there, he followed me around for 3 or 4 days. When I say follow me around, I just mean he kept showing up. And we had a seminar coming up, and then this couple came up after for a reading afterwards. They needed to desperately to know about their dog who had passed. So the dog, I knelt down on the floor, and I reached down and I started petting the dog as he appeared, and the dog raised his left leg, which means the dog had an amputated left leg, and I reached out and felt actual legs of the Marine, and it was the Marine, and it was her father. And so he had been instrumental in getting them to the seminar. as well, and he gave some very specific things that would happen, that did happen.
When you die, I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you, and the next minute I'm dead. What really happens there?
I believe that you're...
I mean, does my body just wear out, or does somebody come and take me, or is it just time to leave?
When it's your time, it's your time, Jerry, and I believe it's a matter of consciousness kind of thing. In other words, one minute you're here, and the next minute you're in a form of a different consciousness. So it's kind of like stepping from one room into another. The body is aware of what's going on prior to the stepping out of it. The soul leaves the body, and they've actually measured the weight of the body after the soul leaves and found that it's about an ounce lighter, and photographed it and this kind of thing. So then I believe that a lot of times angels or beings or whatever, even the loved ones that have already crossed, they're waiting days before. Sometimes they'll show up and they're waiting to escort a person to the other side. Now, I have seen the tunnel that they talk about. There's an actual tunnel. I've actually seen this because I've gone over to people's houses and prayed in their houses. So these entities that were, stuck, ghosts and that kind of thing, would leave. And I've had people come over from the other side as I turn on the elm, and they help escort those out that were stuck in there.
Is it pleasant on the other side of the tunnel?
I also think that it has a lot to do with when someone's consciousness and what they also, how they perceive things and how they believe. Those kids that had that near-death experience, they had wonderful experiences between the two worlds and came back and said these things. So it's light. It's beyond...
We're out of time. Let's go ahead and mention one more time. It's at Borders. Is that Park Place?
Yeah, Borders Park Place, 5870 East Broadway, Tucson, Arizona. Their phone number is... 520-584-0111, or I can be contacted on my website.
And your website address for our radio listeners?
It's FTEPH7.net.
And Stephanie, of course, we have a link to that on our website, and the interview will be posted 24/7 for people to look, and we'll be talking to you again. We just scratched the surface.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you very much. Good night.